Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. Today, we're looking at power in Christ. That's right, power in Christ. And we're looking at a prayer prayed by the Apostle Paul. Last week, we looked at his prayer for enlightenment in Ephesians chapter 1. This week, we're going to look at his prayer for enablement in Ephesians chapter 3. Enablement. If you remember last week, Paul wanted us to be enlightened with an awareness of God's love for us. And this week we're going to see that out of that enlightenment, he prays that we would be enabled. Interestingly, this prayer in Ephesians 3 is a bridge. The first half of the book of Ephesians is all about doctrine. The second half is about ethics or duty. And how does Paul bridge the two sections? Well, with a prayer in Ephesians 3. I'm going to read to you, starting from verse 14, and this prayer is for enablement to live out that which he asks in verses, well, in chapters 4 onward. All right, starting at verse 14. For this reason, I, Paul, kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, let's get ready for this morning's broadcast by listening first to a wonderful song by Matt Redman entitled 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me,
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today we're looking at power in Christ. We're looking in particular at a prayer prayed by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's a prayer that we would be enabled in our Christian walk. Well, we're going to look at three parts of this prayer. The first is the invocation, which is verses 14 through 15. Then the petition, which is verses 16 through 19. And lastly, we will look at his prayer of thanksgiving or the benediction in verses 20 to 21. Let's start with the invocation. Paul says in Ephesians 3, verse 14, For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. The first thing that strikes us here, then, is Paul's posture. He says, I bow my knees. In truth, by kneels, he really means that he is prostrating himself. You see, the ordinary Jewish attitude of prayer was standing with the hands stretched out and palms upwards. But in this case, Paul's prayer for the church is so intense that he casts himself face down on the ground before God in an agony of passionate request. So picture Paul prostrated on the ground. And notice that in Ephesians, there is an emphasis on spiritual posture. You see, in Ephesians 2, verse 1, it talks about when we trust in Christ, we are raised up from the dead and we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. This is in contrast to being buried prior to meeting Christ. So we see in Ephesians 2 that we were first buried as lost sinners, then we trust in Christ and he raises us up from the dead, and then he seats us with Christ in the heavenlies. Warren Wiersbe sums this up nicely, this idea of spiritual posture. He says, because we are seated with Christ, we can then walk so to please him, Ephesians 4:1. And we can stand against the devil, Ephesians 6:10. Do you see what's going on here? The posture that links sitting with walking and then standing is precisely the posture of prayer or bowing the knee. The chain reaction goes like this in Ephesians. We are seated with Christ. Then Paul bows the knee. And he prays so that we can stand and then walk. All right, that's the invocation. Let's move on to the petition in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19. We see that Paul is asking for a few things. And that's what a petition is, by the way. It's making a request. He asks for strength and then depth and then comprehension and lastly fullness. Let's look first at strength. He says in verse 16, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit. You recall in Ephesians 2:1 that the inner man or inner woman of those outside of Christ is dead. But the inner man or inner woman of those in Christ is alive. Well, we see that Paul is asking that this inner man or inner woman be strengthened with power so that it is enabled for Christian living. The message puts it this way. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. So Paul is praying for this. He's praying not for a brute strength, but for a glorious inner strength. Why would he pray for this? Well, the answer comes up in Ephesians 6, verse 10, where Paul explains that we need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Why? Because we must put on the full armor of God so that we will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. Interestingly, concerning the enemy or the devil that is described in Ephesians 6, the Barna Research Group tells us in a study done in 2002 that 59% of North Americans reject the existence of Satan. That's a whopping 60%. But we see clearly that Paul believes there's an enemy at work, and that's why he's praying that we would have power. All right, so the first thing he asks for is strength. He then asks for depth in verse 17. He says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. There's some depth going on here. When he uses the word rooted and grounded in love, there's three pictures that can be used to convey this idea of spiritual depth. And three pictures, they're hidden in the three verbs, namely dwell, rooted, and grounded. The first verb in verse 17, dwell. This literally means to settle down and feel at home. And so Paul is praying that, yes, Christ is already resident in your hearts, but would Christ now move from being a mere resident to being president? Would Christ settle down and be at home in our hearts? The other verb in this passage, verse 17, is that of being rooted. And this moves us into the plant world. You see, the tree must get its roots deep into the soil if it is to have both nourishment and stability. And so Paul is praying that Christ would put down deep roots in our hearts. If there is to be power in the Christian life, then there must be depth. And the roots must go down deep. That's why Psalm 1 says, happy are those who delight in the law of the Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of water. And in all they do, they prosper. Third thing that is mentioned in this verse, verse 17, is being grounded. And this verb takes us into the architectural world. It's a term that refers to the foundations on which we build. And so Paul here is praying that we would have deep foundations, that we would have Christ built upon strong, deep, and lasting foundations. And so clearly the prayer here is for depth, depth in our heart, that Christ would dwell and he'd be rooted and grounded in our hearts. Paul then moves on to praying for comprehension. So he's prayed, he's asked first for strength, then depth, and now comprehension. He says, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and height and length and depth of what? Well, of the love of Christ. He wants us to comprehend this, says verse 18. And the word comprehend stems from the Latin word which means to grasp. To grasp. He wants us to be able to grasp. The Latin word in particular is prehendere, which means to grasp. And we say that a monkey has a prehensile tail. Did you know that? That's a tail that's able to grasp a tree limb and hold on for dear life. And so Paul is conveying here that he wants us to comprehend, which really means he wants us to mentally grasp something, lay hold of it, and not let go. He wants us to comprehend the love of God. Now, the paradox here is that Paul gives us dimensions to the love of God, but in truth, the dimensions cannot be measured, because verse 19 explains that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. We see that idea in Ephesians 3:8, which describes the unsearchable riches of Christ. They're beyond measurement. Nevertheless, Paul prays that we would know the width, the height, and the depth. I really like how the Message puts it. It says, I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. So Paul is asking that we would be enabled by the power of God's love, and in particular, that we would have strength and depth and comprehension. And he closes out his asking with fullness, Ephesians 19, or verse 19. He says, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, it's said that nature abhors a vacuum. This explains why air or water will automatically flow into an empty space. Well, the divine nature abhors a vacuum, and God wants us to experience His fullness. The means of our fullness is the Holy Spirit. That's why Ephesians 5:18 says, "Don't get drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit." And the measure of our fullness is Christ Himself. That's why Ephesians 4:13 says, "The fullness of Christ." So this begs the question, listeners, what are you filling yourself up on? What are you filling yourself up on? Are you getting full in Christ? All right, we've seen now the first two parts of Paul's prayer for power. In the invocation, we saw his prayer that we would know Christ and his power. Then we saw in the petition a prayer for strength, depth, comprehension, and fullness. We're going to pause, and when we come back, we'll close out with the benediction. We're going to stop for a moment and listen to a great song by Paul Baloche, and it's called "You Have Been So Good."
You have been so good to me. You have been so good to me. I came here broken. You made me whole. You have been so good. You have been so good. You have been so good to me. You have been so good to me. Oh, thank you, Lord. You have been so good to me. I came here mourning. You gave me joy. You have been so good. You have been so good. You have been so good to me. How can I thank you? Just no way. How can I thank you, Lord? How could I repay for your kindness, for your tenderness, for your constant presence here with me? You've been so good to me. Presence here with me. You have been so good to me.
You have been so good to me.
You have been so good to me.
You've been so good to me.
I came here broken. You made me whole. You have been so good. So good. You have been so good to me.
So good.
You have been so good.
How can I thank you?
You have been so good.
How can I?
You have been.
so good.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. We're looking today at power in Christ. We're looking at Paul's prayer that we would experience power. It's a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, a prayer for enablement. And we're going to look at his closing benediction. In verse 20 through 21, he says this, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Well, Paul here is asking in verse 20 that to him be glory, but he says to him who by the power at work within us be the glory. Paul is closing out by highlighting that the power is in us, friends. The power is in us through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a benediction, or a doxology, actually. It's to be sung. And I want you to know that really in the heart of all of us, in the heart of every child and teenager and adult, there's a need and a longing to sing a doxology. Now, we may sing it to a hockey team carrying its caption and Stanley Cup on their shoulders, or we may sing it during a standing ovation at the National Arts Center, or we may express it through our waving and cheering as the troops come home from service overseas. But you see, our hearts were made to worship and sing, and we were made to have a hero. Paul here is saying that the hero we were designed to sing about is God himself. Verse 21, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever." I like how John Piper explains. He says, "God makes much of us. Why? So that we can in turn make much of him." Friends, I pray that you have been enlightened and then enabled by an awareness of God's love for you and the power that is available to you. Paul prays for power, and I'd like to now close in prayer that you, the listener, would know power this week. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that all the power we need is available to us through your Son and his Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you have on offer for us an incomprehensible amount of love. And it's from that awareness of love that we can grow strong and grow deep roots, powerful roots for the days ahead. My prayer for the listener today is, first of all, for the listener who's feeling weak. And I just pray they'd know, but elsewhere in the Bible, Paul wrote that when we are weak, we can truly be strong. For it's in our weakness that Christ's power is made perfect. Would you encourage the weak listener? I pray that you would encourage and empower the listener who's up against some enemies or some adversaries at work or maybe at school. I pray that they would comprehend what is the full extent of your power. I pray for the Christian who needs power to overcome sin or temptation. Would they fill up on your Spirit today and have overcoming power. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, just like Paul does. We were made to worship you, Lord, and we give you the power, you the glory, and you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.